Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Xtract Resources. Welcome back, Colin. How's things?
Good, thank you. Very good. And how are you?
Yeah, well, good. Today we saw the announcement of the completion of the interim mining study by Optimal Mining to examine the economics of a 20 million and 25 million tonne per annum open pit operation on Bushranger Copper Gold Project in New South Wales. It seems that this project has the potential to generate substantial cash operating margins. Is that a fair summation, Colin?
That's a fair summation, yeah. And you might ask me, Phil, why interim? You know, why don't you come out with the NPVs, your sensitivities, your IRRs, and all of those good things? But we thought that in actual fact, the conclusion of the independent group who are doing this exercise, you know, Optimal Mining Situations, solutions, they were of the opinion, having looked at the kind of the population of porphyries around the world, that pre-concentration could add a lot of value to our project. And so we produced this interim report, or they produced this interim report, and we're doing an RNS on it to sort of demonstrate the way the company's thinking and the way the outside consultants are thinking. And of course, the way we're thinking is the general direction of the project. So in essence, I think it's come out right through that pyrrhotite seems to be controlled in mineralization there, and that pyrrhonatite is generally magnetic. And they feel, and we feel, that the ability to actually concentrate, pre-concentrate, would add a lot to the project. They're saying up to 20%. Yeah. Whether that's the case or not, I don't know. But it's not just the percentage that you recover and the grade increase. It's actually obviously the footprint of the front end of the process plant will get bigger, but everything else will be affected. The infrastructure will be affected and will be smaller, and it goes into tailings dams. It goes into all aspects of the infrastructure.
Just for listeners, Colin, for layman's terms, can you explain this kind of pre-concentration process?
Well, that's right. Well, if you crush, grind, and float everything, what comes out the pit or in the underground mine, you know, it really can be very wasteful. When a lot of it is, they call it gang, i.e., no pay, no contribution to make to the positive economics, but you've still got to treat it and it still goes in circuit. So if you can get your subject, your ore, you know, your run of mine ore, and actually crush it to a certain level, and then physically remove a lot of the non-pay material, you will basically increase the grade, you'll get rid of the waste material, which was no use to you anyway, and the material that goes to the chemicals, to all of the expensive stuff, is there's kind of the grade is higher and the amount of it is lower. So you basically reduce the size of the end circuit. So it's exactly as it says. You are sorting the good from the bad, pre-sorting at the start of the process, instead of taking the bad stuff through the process and spending an endless amount of money on treating something which was no good in the first place. And that's, I guess, in layman's terms, that's probably the best way of putting it. And our subject would appear to be suitable for that type of technology. And pre-concentration over the last 10 years has come on apace. And there are quite a few examples around the world where this is happening. You know, on a comparable project, we say that pre-concentration retained 87% of the contained metal and reduced the amount of material to be concentrated by 50%. So think about that. You didn't lose much metal, but you actually reduced the amount of material that you've got to put through the final circuit. You reduced it to half.
What are you doing then? You're concentrating the copper then to, you know, 0.6 to 1% then in the material that's actually going through the process?
That's an awfully big forecast. And there's a kind of a grade relationship. And it's not necessarily linear. So it's, you know, there's a bit of science involved in here. But we're talking about a subject, you know, of about 0.33 there. And what you take it to, 0.45, 0.5, I don't know. And it would be unfair to forecast. What the recovery of that is not, you know, it might not be 87%, you know. What you reduce the final material to be sent to concentrator, I don't know. And that's why, of course, we've selected core and that's all been sent off. And we're actually started the pre-concentration trials. They're commissioned and They will be the results that we use in the produce the final report on the viability of this project.
So, Colin, I think what's on everybody's mind, obviously, is this viable project or not, I suppose? I know that's a very, very difficult question to ask, but what are your thoughts on it? Give us your ideas.
Well, is it viable? I think the key question there is, or the initial answer is that this is an interim report. So I'll give you an initial answer is that it generates good cash flow. But the question of viable, do you get a bit more income than an expenditure? It generates very good cash flow. But of course, that's what life's not all about. Is the return on an investment worth the risk? What's the net present value of the project, et cetera, and et cetera? You know, the information the research analysts work on, and of course, everybody works on the return on your money. So it's became obvious as we did the study that whilst we're generating very good cash flows, whether or not that's viable, I don't know, because we've got to, you know, finalize the capex and everything. What I do know is, and what we all know, is that the uplift and the improvement in financial figures can be quite significant, more than can be very significant if pre-concentration works. And so to actually finalize the project now when there was an unknown wasn't sensible. So I've not answered your question in detail because we've decided not to take it to final MPV and sensitivity, but to do this stage of test work before we actually complete the model. But what I can say with certainty, Kevin, is it generates a stack of cash flow. As the copper price goes up, it generates lots more cash flow. We're highly encouraged. We're motivated to do this pre-concentration test work.
Okay, so my analogy is more that there is one vital piece of this jigsaw missing, and it needs to be completed to get a full picture. Would that be fair?
That would be absolutely fair. And again, there'll be optimization after that, Kevin.
It means you're going to frame your jigsaw.
What it means is that circle now is pretty round. That's what it says. Okay. Once we have the pre-concentration the concentration results available to us.
Basically, we're improving the financials of the project by this pre-concentration, and it is necessary. And also, this will obviously, depending on the test results from the concentrations, improve the financials of this whole project.
Well, that's right. When you say, you know, it's an absolute necessity to do it, as you say, it will impact on every aspect of the operation. It will impact on the capital cost. It will impact on the flow sheet, which by necessity will impact on the final process design, which will impact on the capital cost. It will impact on the operating cost, impact on the size of the tailings dam, the electrical cost, and the number of people employed. Just about every single aspect of the operation will be affected. And there'll be a massive capex improvement. And the operating cost, of course, if you're treating that sort of figure that I quoted, half the material, then of course that impacts quite seriously on the unit operating costs. So there'll be a massive impact. What that does to the MPV, because you know just about every figure you talk about will be rejigged. What that does to the MPV, I know not. The return on capital employed, I know not. And of course, then we've got to run all the sensitivities of 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I don't think we'll go any higher than 11. Copper price. Obviously, there are those who are saying the copper price is going to 15. If it does, so be it. Everything goes to the bottom line anyway. So, no, we feel we're making very good progress with this study. And of course, the more you study it, the more you see the flaws, the warts. The more you study it, you see the benefits. This interim situation is not unusual because as you focus your mind, you realize you might be a bit short of info. And to finish this study without doing the pre-concentration trials, knowing that over the last 10 years, pre-concentration has advanced a pace, would not be the right way for our shareholders and would not be the right way to take the project forward.
I'm just looking at some examples of some mines that have used this pre-concentration process, and there's some big names in there. You've got Olympic Dam Australia that used the process of flotation to separate copper, uranium and other minerals. You've got El Teniente in Chile that used DMS to separate the copper. And obviously one very close to your heart, the Sentinel mine in Zambia, where they use ore sorting to separate the copper from the ore. I believe they use some kind of quite impressive technology through sensors that detect and sort the copper-rich particles based on their physical properties. And then the other one is the Escondida mine in Chile, where they use flotation and DMS. So, you know, it's something that has to be done right for the economics of a mine.
That's right. That's right, Phil. As usual, you've hit it right on the nose. And there's a fair summary, and you're fairly close to the industry nowadays, you two. But as you say, you mentioned some pretty big names there, and, you know, some of the biggest minds in the world. And, you know, it's really very, very basic. Why would you put the entire subject through a process plant when in actual fact you can get the negative stuff, the non-contributory material, you can move it out right at the very start.
Yeah.
And it begs the question, you know, 20 years ago, whether you wanted to do it or not, didn't matter because you couldn't. You didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
But as I said at the start, Phil, and you quite admirably quoted those examples, technology has come on a pace. It's one of the, in terms of processing, one of the quickest moving parts of the processing industry, the fastest moving, because we're recognizing now, you know, that I think I said to you in a previous podcast, the average grade 15 years ago being worked in copper mines globally was 1.13. It is now 0.6. And dropping. But what is not dropping is the demand. So by definition, our industry has to treat these great big systems, which have got relatively low grade ore, but stacks and stacks of it. That is the description of a porphyry copper deposit. Stacks and stacks and stacks of metal, loads of ore, all low grade. So, you know, the science by definition, the science of processing by definition had to move into the ability to pre-sort. And that's just what we're doing. So, one thing we're not short of, Kevin, is ore. You know, we're over 500 million tons, as you know. For this model, we've used 225 million, I think it is. And then, of course, as I say, we've got stacks of ore. So this upgrade is really going to refocus our minds and refocus the study. So necessary, right time to be doing it. We've put a circle around the project of what the pit might look like. And now we're getting into process refinement. I wouldn't go so far as to say optimization, that's still to come, but process refinement.
We saw all of that technology starting to take place when we went to Zambia in the different plants that we went to see that Jubilee have been operating in terms of concentrating the copper and then taking that solution down to Kabwe and producing 99.999 whatever percentage copper through electrolysis. So, yeah. We can see that the whole system, as you said, 10, 20 years ago, didn't happen that way. They crushed the ore and hopefully got copper out of it, and that was the way it worked. But now things have changed. So, we have to be up to date with this. And I think it almost has to improve all of those factors you talked about, including the net present value, as well as all of the costs involved in going into it, because effectively you're going to be processing significantly less than you did before, or you were thinking
that's
of doing.
Right, that's right. Well, you'd be processing copper instead of an old load of waste. You know, if you go back 25 years ago, your only chance was, and you could only do it on a certain size particle, was hand picking. You know, you would have 20 guys and girls on either side of a very, very slow moving copper belt, and you'd be picking off the good stuff or picking off the bad stuff, whichever you choose to do, throwing it into a bin. And that was the only upgrading you could do. And then there was very rough, dense medium. And the industry was static for years and years and years because, you know, the cutoff grade for a mine was about 1.5% copper. And it was no big deal to put everything through the system. Not to keep repeating myself, in this day and age, those ore bodies have finished, Kevin. They've finished, they've gone. And so really, it's not what you've got to treat, it's what you've got. You've got to make it suitable for treatment. And that's what we're studying now. And I'd like our audience to this this discussion to think of it more as a refinement. It's not optimization, because there's plenty of room left for that at every aspect of this model. So how do we feel about it? We feel that we've got 1.3 million tons of copper. We've put in a big portion of it through the plant, which is high grade. But don't, when our listeners look at the model, they've got to really step back, because it's not just the 0.33, which is going to be upgraded to 0.45, 0.5, I don't know, even more. Even the lower grade material will all be upgraded. So, you know, it's going to imply it. It's going to sort of impact on the entire study. So the pit, in actual fact, might in actual fact lift from 225 million tons. Who knows? Sure. Because you'll bring lower grade material in. And then, as I say, we've got the exploration potential northeast and western to bring in more material. So it's going the right way. it's going pretty consistent with international work, global work, which has been done. And Phil, quite rightly, and these were not small projects. These are some of the biggest mines in the world.
Exactly that. So, well, we look forward to, you know, welcoming you back on as you aim to finalise your ongoing plans for the Bushranger project. Thanks again for your time, Colin.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your contribution, both of you. I think those mines, those examples you brought out, very good, Phil, because, you know, that really does sum it all up, doesn't it?
Indeed.
The big boys are doing it, and it seems to be a necessary part of today's low-grade porphyries.
Sure.
So thank you very much again.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.